You all right, guys?
I need
the
kitchen,
the office,
the lounge,
the living room for a meeting,
for my spin class,
for my live stream,
for my game.
I need it to watch the footy.
When everyone's caning the broadband, EE's new Wi-Fi 7 router makes every device work better, even yours.
Hello, guys.
And knead the dough like this.
Turn it up. Let's go, team.
New Smart Wi-Fi Pro, exclusively from EE.
43.7% UK availability. Smart Hub Pro and Smart Wi-Fi Pro available with selected EE full fibre plans. Terms apply.
No one likes nasty surprises. Like when your favourite artist brings out a concept album that, on listening, should probably have been kept as just an idea. That's why with QuickCheck, you can check if you're eligible for a Capital One credit card without affecting your credit score. And you'll always know the APR you'll get before applying. Credit with no nasty surprises. That's one good thing. Search Capital One. 34.9% APR representative variable. T's and C's apply.
Dear listeners, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Taj Easton, and the music in the background now is a song that today's storyteller and I recorded back when we were fucking kids. And this here is a new format of Risk episode that we are experimenting with. You've heard our live stories told in front of an audience. You've heard our radio stories recorded privately with music and sound design. And now, just when you thought we couldn't get any more intimate and real and motherfucking mind-blowingly personal, we are humbly yet confidently presenting you with episodes like this one, where someone tells a story in conversation with the host and we chat about it. Simple, friendly, entertaining. What else? Beautiful? Yeah, it's beautiful. It's like here is one person telling another person all this deeply personal shit. And that's why they call it personal. I don't know if that's true. In this episode, I am genuinely excited to present to you a story told to me by one of my oldest, dearest, and most special, treasured, fantastic, fabulously beautiful, awesome friends, Adarius Bell. Avid listeners may remember that the first ever story we did in this kind of format was way back in September of 2022, and that was a conversation between Adarius and myself on an episode called Mercy. Today, we switched seats, and Adarius told me this shit-kickingly awesome story you're about to hear. Thanks for being here. We love you. We appreciate you. Without any further ado, here is the inimitable Adarius Bell with a story we call Ego Death. What's up, man? It's good to see you.
Been a minute.
It has been a minute. And it's not an uneventful minute, as I understand it.
It's been some real eventful minutes.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on right now.
All of it tough?
Yeah. Just coming to terms with life. And what I've been doing within my life and how I've been operating my life as an operator of this body, I'm making a lot of bad decisions.
Oh.
And, if it doesn't get fixed, you know, I think it's really going to continue to harm and possibly damage several relationships in my life. So I gotta come to terms with what's going on and try to figure it out, man.
Wow, man, that is a very heavy, eventful kind of minute, it sounds like. I've never heard you talk quite like that.
The stakes have never been so high.
Fuck, man.
So.
Fuck, man.
I gotta make some real changes in my life, my guy.
I am infinitely curious, but also don't want to pry. And if this is not what you want to talk about today, I totally respect that. But yeah, I love you. I want to know what's going on, but I don't want to pressure you to talk about it right now.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the thing, even though honestly, I think it'd be fun to talk about with you, but I don't know if this is the thing I want in the world.
Okay, yes.
Just because it's a lot.
That makes a lot of sense. I am really, truly here for it, though, man, and I hope you will call if you want to talk anytime.
Yeah, I think the thing that I do want to talk about,
yeah,
and actually plays into this moment, is the holidays.
Okay.
Did you know I went to Mississippi when my grandfather passed away?
Yeah, I remember.
So my grandfather, when he passed away, we got the call on Christmas Eve.
Hmm.
And I had to fly out to Mississippi on Christmas.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, I mean, that whole situation was a trip. And I've just been thinking about it a lot because it really holds a lot of weight into how I feel about, one, like how I approach fatherhood, but two, how I approach secrets and things that like I hold close to me that I maybe haven't talked to people about. And I didn't know my grandfather had so many of them. And I didn't know that we choose to keep our secrets in the same way. His are very different, but they're both kind of rooted from the same thing, you know, like grandfather was a really, was a good dude, but he had an ego problem. And yeah, I didn't really know much about that side of him. I only knew about the fun side, the jolly side, the cool dude side. Yeah. And I learned a lot in that Mississippi trip. And now it's really starting to come back full circle in this moment because I'm in a bit of a struggle right now. So it's been interesting to kind of feel all those things I was feeling in Mississippi. When he passed, it was Christmas Eve, and we had to have a hurry up offense to fly out there. Obviously, it's a lot to try to fly out to Mississippi on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
but my mom found a ticket. And I found a ticket, but it left Christmas at like 8 p.m. And I didn't get in until like 6 a.m.
Oh, shit.
So my mom, she flew out there on Christmas. And I went to the airport on Christmas Day. And I missed my flight. I didn't tell anybody that I missed my flight. I just missed my flight. And I slept in the airport on Christmas when it happened. And the only person I told was my mom. But I basically lied to her and was like, oh, the flight got canceled. Don't worry, I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which they found me another ticket, and it did work out where I ended up there on the 26th. But it was already the beginning of a process of, like, not even being truthful with my mom about the whole process. So I think about that a lot. Like, what was the reason behind it? Why do I need to tell my mom a lie?
Right. It was something like shame or?
Yeah. I think it all stemmed from like shame or ego.
Yeah.
Being embarrassed and not trying to like put it on my shoulder or make it visible that I'm embarrassed by how these things are happening.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, that was like the start of my trip to Mississippi. I get out there on the 26th. And to rewind, my whole life, my grandfather used to tell us stuff like, oh, I got a watermelon farm in Mississippi and all these acres of land. But we had never been. And it was always weird to me as a kid, like why I was never invited to Mississippi to go see all these watermelons and acres of land. So my whole childhood, I thought the dude was lying. I'm like, man, this ain't real. You know, and it was another form of me watching him protect his ego, his embarrassment, and the way in which he protects his secrets. So when I get out there on the 26th, my mom and I, we connected at the hotel. We got a rental car and was like, let's go smash out. His property was like 2 hours away from the airport. Nothing's close in Mississippi.
Okay.
So when I got there, we got some food. I don't know, some weak-ass Bojangles. I don't know. The food there is disgusting. I will tell you that. I hope nobody's from Mississippi because I don't want to be a dick. But, man, it's fried roadkill. There ain't nothing good there, man. Yeah. Subway sandwich was like, I was like, creme de la creme.
That's what you wanted. Oh, shit.
Yeah. No, I think I ate Subway every day that we was there because that was the only place you can get a fucking vegetable that wasn't fried. So I ate a bunch of fucking Subway. Sponsorship. If y'all want to sign me, I'll keep eating Subway. anyway, so we out there. Me and my mom decided to smash this house. We drive for about 1 hour and 50 minutes. And on the last 10 minutes of the 2 hour ride, my mom looks over at me as I'm driving. And says, do you know about the woman granddaddy's living with? I said, nah, what is she, like a caretaker? Like, what's popping? She's like, no, he's been living with the woman that's just basically his girlfriend. And they've been together for about 15 years, on and off for about 30.
Boom.
I'm like doing the math in my head, like, well, he lived with granny for some years too. Like, the math ain't mathing, like.
Yeah.
How's he been with this lady for 30 years, but been with my grandma for like 50?
Yeah.
Like 50 some years. Like, what happened? Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my mom didn't really answer any of my questions, but proceeded to tell me, it's going to be fine. I know her. I've met her. I'm like, damn, this is huge.
Yeah.
But also, I'm grieving the fact that I lost like my father figure at the time. So I'm like, in and out of being like really confused and also just really excited to be able to do the task of bring his body back to our family. Like, that meant a lot to me.
Hmm.
So we pulled up. My mom is on her phone. She's dialing a number. I hear her connect with somebody on the other end. All I hear is, okay, great, we're outside. We wait in the car. And as we're waiting in the car, there's a big property with all these like trailer homes around it. And I see one of the doors open up and then close real fast.
Hmm.
I'm looking like, what is that? Who is that? Then from around back of that same house, these two dudes rolled up. Now, one was light skinned. He just looked like a dude from Mississippi. I don't really know how to describe it. You know, he had one of them tattered outfits on with the.
Okay.
Nah, let me not do that to him. But he did have a little bit of that sling blade energy. He had a little bit of the tattered sweatshirt with the overalls. It was on his way to a Stephen King film. Anyway, he comes around the corner. He's a little bit younger. We're probably like the same age, 30. I look at him. I say, what's up? He walks towards the car. He goes to my mom's side of the car. He says hi to her. My mom's still sitting in the car. He looks over at me and he goes, dang, you look just like your grandfather.
Huh?
I'm like, hold on, you know my grandfather? And he's like, yeah. I mean, he basically raised me. And I'm looking at this dude like, we like the same age. How did my grandfather basically raise you, bro? So we're still really confused, really like lost. Then another guy comes. Now, this guy's probably mid-50s, maybe a little bit older than 50. Comes around the corner and it is the most confusing thing I've ever seen because he looks just like my uncle. Like, they're twins. And I'm just like, well, hold on. Is this the multiverse? Like, where the fuck am I? Like, where are these, like, alternate versions of us coming from? It's like real awesome Jordan Peele type vibes. Like,
okay.
I don't know if it's Get Out or if it's us, but yeah. It felt real crazy.
Damn, like really, really creepy.
Yeah, like really creepy in the middle of a field, staggered trailer park homes around us.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, this is gnarly. So dude comes, and my mom is still in the car, mind you. I'm still in the car. I'm in the driver's seat. My mom's in the passenger, and these dudes are just walking up to her side of the car. Hmm. We peek in. Both of them say the same thing. Dang, you look just like your grandfather. Wow. So finally, that door that peeked open opened again. The lights came on. And a woman who's probably in her 70s, maybe 80s, comes out. She's in a robe. And then my mom gets out the car. She says, hey, what's up, Aslan? I'm like, oh, okay, so this must be the woman you're talking about. So I walk up to her, I shake her hand, and the two guys are flanked on both sides of her. She says, it's really good to see you guys out here. Didn't think you guys would make it. And I reassured her, like, of course I'd be here for my grandfather. I'd go anywhere. I just want to make sure everything is cool.
Yeah.
So they invite us into the house. We get in the house. We sit down on the couch. And at that point, my whole goal was to get my grandfather's belongings, including his ring. He had this like, very special ring to him. Hmm. And to get his financial stuff so we can close out his accounts. Hmm. So we could pay for his burial because he has insurance for all that shit. And just kind of do the logistics and operations of death.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't the easy stuff. It was the stuff you got to do when someone passes away.
Sure.
So we're on the couch, and my mom and her are having some small talk, and it kind of gets silent, quiet. The dudes are looking at me the whole time, just kind of staring at me, giving me a a real city slicker type of look. But okay. It's okay. I don't know them, and so I don't judge. The conversation gets kind of to a halt where no one's talking for a little bit. Everyone's looking up at the TV. I forgot what was on, but everyone's just kind of like watching the TV. And at that point, I didn't want to watch TV. I wanted to get my grandfather shit and go. Yeah. I wanted to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as everyone's silent, I look up and say, hey, can I get my grandfather's ring? She says, I don't have it. Hmm. I'm looking like, well, my grandfather wears that ring all the time. If he's not at the morgue with it, then it's here. Is it possible to go check his room? No. You can't check his room. Hmm. Can't go in this room. I'm looking like, wait a minute. That's still my grandfather. I want to get any belongings of his that I can. So I said, listen, I'm not going to make this really hard on any of y'all. I want this to be easy, but also have some stake in the game here. If you're feeling trauma about going in there, you don't have to. I'll go in the room and I get up to go walk in my grandfather's room, and these two dudes pop up quick and walk towards the door and stand in front of it and says, can't go in there, man. She already said no. So at that point, I'm kind of shook. I'm like, oh, man, is it about to go down? Like, am I about to get shot by one of these sling blade dudes? Are we about to fight in this trailer? But also in my head, I'm thinking the whole time, like, my grandfather had a relationship with all of these people, and I never knew. And I never knew anything about him. And there were carbon copies of the same family that he made in California. Wow. Just in Mississippi. At that point, I realized my grandfather had been living there for 15 years, living a lie, but it was the truth to them. Hmm. It was their truth.
Wow.
It wasn't mine. Everything that they were experiencing from my grandfather's death and grief was their own truth. And as much as I thought I had the bigger hand, I think no one had the right cards to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
And we're dealing with the same person. Anyway, so these dudes basically stopped me from getting all my grandfather's belongings. And I visibly am shook, but at that point, I'm like, Mom, let's just go. It's a two-hour drive, but we ain't doing shit tomorrow. Our ticket don't leave until the 29th, and we still got to do the morgue and county stuff. So let's just call this a wash tonight. Let's come back again in a couple days. So we leave. I said, Mom, let's go. We drive off. We go back to the hotel. When I get to the hotel, I had this sack it had like his old wallet in there, not like nothing recent, but it was an old wallet, but I found a social security number. Pretty crafty when it comes to trying to figure shit out. And I think the one thing I wanted to do was close all his bank accounts.
Okay.
So I basically get on the phone with a old man voice the whole time. And I have his address. I have his social security card. I have a bank card. I have his account. I have a check from his checkbook.
Wow.
And I proceed to fraudulently close out all his accounts.
Yeah.
I call acting like him the whole time. I get customer service since I had all his credentials.
Yeah.
They listen to me. And I would say, oh, my name is Edward. I got locked out of my account, boy. And I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know what's going on.
Oh my.
Do you see anything? The last thing I bought was some gas here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I just made up this whole thing. And it was this whole elaborate lie.
Yeah.
But just to close out his account.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I did. And at some point, I even, right before I closed it out, because I was on my computer, I ended up setting up online banking once they gave me a new routing number and a new account number.
Okay.
So I could see his account and I had visibility. And I saw that there was a bunch of money just being extracted during the last 2 days.
Wow.
A lot of money out of his checking account and pretty much all the money out of his savings account have been moved.
Wow.
It didn't tell me where, but it just said transfers, withdrawal, transfers.
Wow.
And at that point, I figured out that that woman, Azaline, had taken all his money. A day after he passed away, I went to multiple banks and cleared out all his bread.
Oh my gosh.
When I saw that, bro, I was furious. I wanted to get in that car and make that two-hour drive and just start fucking everybody up, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it was the maddest I had ever been. But then I thought to myself, I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm out here to get his burial money so we could bury him and get his insurance right.
Yeah.
So we could bury him.
Yeah.
But they out here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, living in a trailer with my grandfather's retirement being their only source of income. Again, another situation where I felt like I had the upper hand, but we just all playing the cards we got dealt.
Yeah.
And it hit me in that moment that everything I'm out there trying to do, they're trying to do as well.
Yeah.
And they're trying to fend for themselves. They're trying to live in what they think is my grandfather's legacy. And it became a real big clashing moment for me where I was trying to figure out if the things I was doing to lie to preserve my grandfather's legacy, were those things just as important as the lies that this other family was telling to preserve their life and legacy of how they knew my grandfather?
Right.
It really fucked me up all night, bro. Because I wanted to do something about it. I wanted to fight. I wanted to do whatever I could.
You said it was the maddest that you've ever been.
That was the maddest I've ever been in my life, bro. Like, I was shaking. I think part of it was, obviously, my grandfather had just passed.
Yeah.
So there's that layer.
Yeah.
I'm mad. There's that layer.
Yeah.
And I'm meeting this whole other family that looks like my family.
Right.
That I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. So, I mean, at that point, man, I was literally shaking. I couldn't stop walking.
Yeah.
I couldn't even really see right.
Wow.
Because I was just so angry and it was cold outside, but I couldn't sit in the hotel because I really wanted to start punching the walls. I really wanted to just like cause as much damage as possible.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't the right move. I get back in the hotel. My mom's asleep. Decided to like just watch some TV. I stayed up for a bunch of hours on my laptop. I don't know what I was looking at, but I just remember being up dumbass late to like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Okay.
And finally dozing off. We wake up in the morning. We go handle all that, like, the operations of death shit. We go to the Jackson, Mississippi County Clerk's office. We get a death certificate. We go to the church/morgue. We go set up that because of how much it would cost and how little money he had, we ended up having to cremate him.
Okay.
Which I don't know if he wanted, but we just didn't have the dough for it.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. And yeah, that was a really long and tough day. But at the end of the day, I kept thinking about that family. Now, I cut off all these credit cards so they had no more access to money. I changed my grandfather's phone number. I called his wireless carrier. I completely removed my grandfather from their life completely. And as soon as we went and picked up the ashes, the only thing I could think of is to share it with him. It was the only right thing to do, bro, to treat them as equal as I can.
Yeah.
So when we woke up, I told my mom, I said, yo, I actually want to drive back over there and give them some of the ashes.
Yeah.
So we did that. We went over there. This time we got out the car immediately. I knocked on the door. And as Lynn came out, I had this box of ashes with me. And I said, listen, we had to cremate my grandfather. And, you know, I don't know what y'all been through. I don't really know much about you. But I think given the whole situation, it'd be unfair if I didn't share this with you. And she was pretty happy but quiet that I had this gesture for her. And she happily accepted. And we found a really nice jar that she had. And I gave her some of my grandfather and put a little bit in there, opened the bag up, tied it and closed it. And then put everything back in there. And I'm just kind of looking around their house. And there's like pictures of these little kids with my grandfather who I'd never seen. There's pictures of my grandfather at like football games that weren't my football games. There's pictures of my grandfather with a newborn that wasn't like anybody in my family. There's pictures of my grandfather with Azaline when he's younger. Wow. And I realized in that moment, like, that this has been happening for years. And my grandfather never said nothing to nobody and kind of kept it as a secret. And that shit tore me up because, like, I realized that I wasn't the only one feeling this shit. I wasn't the only person going through this shit. And I've also been lied to for a majority of my life from like the greatest dude that I knew.
Oh my God.
It wasn't exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
So we put this in this really nice jar. I dab up these dudes who I still don't know if they're actually related to me because they look just like me, but they didn't have time to figure it out.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go home and, I dap these dudes up. I give them a hug. I give her a hug. And I hop in the car. My mom is talking. And I just start breaking down.
Yeah.
And it was a lot to deal with. And, you know, the biggest thing is this. We were trying to leave the property. We were trying to leave the property and I made a wrong turn. I was supposed to make a left. I made a right. And I started driving down this long road. And I look up and I see that there's this watermelon farm. It's huge. It's acres. It's like the biggest shit I've ever seen, bro. And that shit is like sprawls, like further than, you know, I can really see.
Yeah.
And I realize he wasn't lying.
Oh, the watermelon farm was real.
It was real. And I kind of laughed to myself. And I thought to myself, this motherfucker, man, he really pulled this shit off. He really pulled off a whole nother life. And I don't know what was real or what was fake, but the love for him was extremely real. And the hate I had for anybody who he loved was extremely fake.
Right.
And I needed to let it go.
Wow. That is a complex, complete human being right there.
Yeah, man. So now I'm like really searching to make sure that like
these moments where I'm trying to protect myself, you know, what am I doing it for? Who am I feeding? Is it the ego I'm feeding? Am I lying to myself? Am I lying to people when I have to like maneuver or shake out of something?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do know these are just cards, man. And I don't know if I've been playing the hand as best as I can, but I'm ready to play a new game with these cards, man.
So one of the things you think about when you think about this story is like questioning your instincts or your first reaction or the direction your emotions maybe take you.
Yeah, I think it's a little all that.
Yeah.
I think it's a little all that. I think mostly it's understanding patterns, behavior patterns.
Yeah.
That we kind of get stuck in these loops.
Yeah.
Where we just be doing shit just to do it, to cope, to get by. And sometimes it's not necessarily the most healthy thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a little bit more investigation required.
Yes. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, to understand like what these things are.
Right.
Instead of just taking them for face value, everything is in the human experience is complex.
Yes.
And simple at the same time.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
No one likes nasty surprises. Like when your favorite artist brings out a concept album that, on listening, should probably have been kept as just an idea. That's why with QuickCheck, you can check if you're eligible for a Capital One credit card without affecting your credit score. And you'll always know the APR you'll get before applying. Credit with no nasty surprises. That's one good thing. Search Capital One. 34.9% APR representative variable. T's and C's apply.
This is Dan Savage, host of the Savage Lovecast, and it's pretty simple. You ask...
Calling for advice on having sex while traveling.
What pants should I wear? How do I navigate socks, you know, if I have to take off my socks at any point?
And I answer. A dick can be too big, guys. Dicks can be impractically large. Butts have cracks in them. Sex toys shouldn't have cracks in them. Yeah, you're gonna need headphones.
The Savage Lovecast, every Tuesday.
We're back.
Is it just me listening to this story that I feel very good about where you ended up? Would you say that you're proud with how you showed up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I did the thing, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in my family who could have went, but I took it on my shoulders, and I had never done nothing like that, like really processed all of the things to pick up my grandfather's body and bring it back and, you know, deal with all of the, again, the operations and logistics of it. Like, no one wanted to do it. Everyone was broken. It was a holiday.
Yeah.
No one wanted to leave. And, yeah, it was one of my finest moments.
It is a fine moment, man.
It's a fine moment.
I mean, you know me and in what high esteem I hold empathy, and this story to me is like a beautiful fucking empathy superhero kind of moment that just thrills me and makes me want to give you such a big hug.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. But right now I'm just going through a lot of the same shit where I'm not necessarily lying or hiding anything, but I'm letting a part of my ego drive me. And it's starting to be a little bit detrimental to myself, my life, my family. And I've been thinking about that shit with my grandfather for the last couple of weeks because I had always been confused on what I was seeing versus what I was experiencing. And I don't know if the things I saw was his family. I don't know if everything was a lie, but I experienced a lot of love. And I experience a lot of truth.
Yeah.
So, again, I always think about that because I don't know what the fuck was happening.
You really do get at a kind of incredibly thought-provoking kind of truth there in that your perspective that all of these alternate possibilities are legitimate and sort of equivalent, and I'm not going to know objectively what is true, but I can kind of hold that each of these people has their own truth.
No, that's exactly what it is. I think the situation is its own truth.
Yeah.
Regardless of how we arrived to get there.
Right.
this is its own separate value of how folks approach their truth and their true selves and their ability to be a part of a moment.
Yeah.
And I almost took that away from them.
Yeah.
But it just was because my ego.
Yeah.
And my grandfather loved a dude to death.
Yeah.
He didn't really help with setting me up for that. I mean, I'm in a situation where his ego had him lying about a whole nother family.
Right.
And in return, my ego treated it as if I'm his only family.
Right.
And all of that was just a bad combination in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I like where it ended up. I like where it ended up a whole lot. And significant to me, too, is that we're talking about it now, and it looks like it has some real resonance for what's happening in your life.
Yeah.
And it seems like it is kind of a touchstone that is bringing you to a sort of humble self-awareness that could really serve you well, I imagine. I mean, the level of sort of introspection I'm hearing from you today, it's an encouraging thing, man, because not everyone can sort of stop and look and bring the kind of humble self-awareness that might be just the thing you really need at this time.
No, it's real. And, you know, it's extra layered. I'm a happily married man. My grandfather was a happily married man. And he made some bad decisions that pushed him out of his home.
Hmm.
And these are very different decisions. They're not involving any other women.
Yeah.
But I'm making bad decisions in my life that could potentially push me out of my home.
Wow.
And that scares the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And I have no problem fearlessly confronting this shit, but I need to understand like where it comes from.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking about this moment with my fucking grandfather. Like, he's the only man I knew. For a very long time, he's my father in everybody's eyes.
Right.
Ain't nobody see it differently.
Right. Not an insignificant effect on your upbringing.
Nah, and the crazy thing is, like, I didn't know about any of this shit. But that pattern, that behavior, I adopted, which is wild.
Yes.
I didn't know anything like this in his life. It didn't make sense to me, honestly. I thought he was living with some old homies back in the day that like got a compound in Mississippi and that's where they retired, you know, like
yeah.
That was the whole thing that was framed to me. I didn't see it as anything else.
Yeah.
I knew he was fishing. I knew he had this watermelon farm, but I didn't know any of his actual life.
Right.
Until the moment he died.
Wow.
And I'm just hoping that I could figure out a better way to live my own life in truth and for people to see it before I die. And that's the goal, you know? That's the thing I want the most.
Goddamn, man.
Yeah, man, it's a lot. And I'm sorry to spring this up on you. It's been stuck in my head, bro, for like the last 2-3 weeks. I think, you know, one day hopefully we'll have a recap of what I've been going through. It's mostly workplace stuff, but
yeah,
I've been thinking about this moment for almost every day, multiple times a day, because I got to really get on the fact that, like, there's a lot of shit moving in my life that is not in the right direction.
Mm.
And there's a lot of good, so it's not all bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to beat myself up, but I got to find a balance.
And it's a time to zoom out and take a step back and look at the big picture.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what I need to do, is take a huge step back, sit with how I arrived here. I did it a little subconsciously, just kind of arrived.
Sure, sure.
Didn't know that it was layered with past trauma and past missteps of other elders and ancestors.
Right, right.
But I think that's why I keep thinking about this story and going through this thing I'm going through. Like, it keeps coming back as like one of the more confusing moments of clarity. One of the most confusing moments of accepting clarity.
God damn, it is a poignant and loaded, complicated, beautiful story.
Yeah, man. And the nigga really had a watermelon farm. That shit crazy. Bro, that shit was so... My nigga, that shit was crazy. I'm like, hold on, bro. You ain't never sent a watermelon to California. You ain't never sent me no fucking dry fruits.
Yeah.
You ain't never took me fishing, nigga. Like, what the fuck? You out here with acres of a watermelon farm.
Oh, my God.
Acres. That's my favorite fruit.
Wow.
I'm black as hell. I love watermelon, man.
Watermelon is so amazing.
It's amazing.
Do you think you have a watermelon farm? Like, in this story, in the analog, is part of the mystery here? Do we figure out what your watermelon farm is?
Yeah, man. You know, to be honest with you, that's funny. I thought about that too, my brother. And I think, ironically enough, I won't be able to choose my watermelon farm.
Right.
I'll be able to tell y'all that I got a watermelon farm.
Right.
And hopefully when I die, y'all see it.
We'll see it. Oh, my God.
You know, it's one of them things where, like, I preach a lot of shit. I say a lot of shit that I'm about.
Yeah.
I don't know if people believe it. Oh, well. But when I pass, I hope people start to find my little acres of watermelon farms all over and know that I did my best. I tried my best. And I was very, very honest with my people.
So well said, man. I mean, of all the people I know, I think you are probably the most sort of forward thinking, especially in creative terms, sort of like ahead of the curve.
Mm.
And so it's very easy for me to imagine the world. It won't be quite ready for everything you have to offer until you're gone.
Yeah, me too. Me too, man. Yeah, but there is one out there. I don't know what people are going to call it, but I've said a lot of shit, and I feel like there's going to be gems that people being like, man, this motherfucker was right.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about.
Even in the complexities of the life that I've lived.
Yeah.
I think people are going to look back and say, hey, man, this dude left a lot of watermelon.
Yeah. I already talk about you like this to everyone.
Hey, man, you know it's all love, T. I got a lot of soul searching to do in the upcoming weeks, and I think a part of the process is really opening up how I got here. And although I'm going to be A-okay, I'm going to be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I think this is the time for me to really dig into who I am and who I want to continue to be. So thank you for letting me kind of unpack and open up and investigate that with you, because I'm really on a search right now.
Oh, my God. Darius, thank you. It's just a total honor and privilege to be able to have this kind of conversation with you, and kind of inspiring to notice how much you seem to be in a sort of introspective existential moment. And yeah, just that you would trust me with this conversation means a huge amount.
Yeah, man.
It's the kind of culture I want to build amongst the people in my life, is one where this kind of radical honesty or vulnerability is flowing. It means a great deal to me.
Yeah, you know, it's all love, man. I can't do this for too many people.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the moments to be able to do this. And shout out to my nigga Kevin.
Yeah.
shout out to my nigga Kevin, you know, for setting up this platform for folks to really be able to share moments like this with their homies. I appreciate it. I don't know you, Kev, but you family too, brother. Man, I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you so much, so fucking much. And I really, really hope that you will call me and we can talk offline if there's anything else that would be helpful to be listened to about.
Nah, man, you know, I'm gonna hit you up, bro. I need you, man, and I love our combos. I've just been a little stuck.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Been a little stuck. I've been a little embarrassed. I've been a little in a place that I never had to vocalize because I ain't never been there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nah, we gonna rap. We gonna rap. I need to get myself out of my head, but I'm slowly getting the right words out. Now I got to get the right actions to match it.
Okay. I can see it, man. And also, I really trust you and believe in you. So I personally don't feel a lot of fear, like, that you won't come out of this where you want to be.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What I'm just trying to say is that how much I believe you and have confidence in you. And I don't know if my confidence is at all helpful right now, but it's sincere.
No, it is, man. You know, like, I think people like yourself, man, who I hold very close to, you know, just as family.
Yeah.
I think it really helps because when I talk to folks like yourself, man, you're not people who I don't know, man, they're just feeding my ego, you know? They're just feeding the thing that I don't want to feed.
Yeah.
And I think that you're giving me nourishment for my soul and not the thing that I'm not trying to feed anyway. So I appreciate it, man. I need to stick in that as much as possible because I got two stomachs and one eats way more than the other, bro. The other one is very hungry.
Yeah.
Very hungry.
Man, it's just kind of mind-blowing to me that you brought this story today. I mean, I've spent so much time in the last 2.5-3 years, like, in an existential kind of crisis, and am very often thinking about how all of these lessons I picked up from the patriarchy are things that I'm trying to work against or moderate or sort of work out. And yeah, I don't know if it's as much as what your story meant to you. But for me, when you were saying, like, somehow you got a lot of these lessons from him, sort of these, like, types of relationships to your ego that he didn't have to teach you directly or whatever. Like, it came through even though you didn't know about him until he was gone. That's what it makes me think about, is sort of like these roles that the men before us played and how in so many ways they have really deep and profound impressions that then it's like part of our character. And then when we have to take some serious time for introspection in, or if you want to catch that and do something else.
It's so real, bro. And I think we inherit so much as humans. We're almost like, little USB sticks. Like, and we can walk on this road. We can keep moving on this life. Shit's still on the fucking thumb drive, bro. And I think I slowly need to audit what the fuck is on my thumb drive, yeah, man. Because, like, I've been attached to these things and inherited a bunch of shit that I didn't know was there. And I'm running out of space. I'm running out of memory. I'm at my max. I need a terabit drive or, you know, I need something way bigger if I'm going to operate like this. But the truth is, you only get one fucking thumb drive.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You got to do the virus cleaner.
I got to get my ass on Norton, baby. Norton software protection, all that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to clean this shit up, bro, because I'm stuck with a bunch of files that I didn't necessarily want to inherit.
Yeah.
Things that I didn't even ask for.
Yeah.
So now it's really trying to investigate, like, how I work that out, man.
Yeah. I see you, man. And it's also extremely validating and heartening because I have been thinking like this so much the last couple of years. And, yeah, not trying to delight in your struggle right now. But
not, you know what? You know what's crazy, T? I'm not going to stop you, but I want to say this. Like, you didn't know my grandfather, but I knew your pops.
Yeah.
And I can say, if I could go back, my grandfather's nickname would be Quick and Dirty Ed.
He's got something in common with my dad.
Both great men.
Yeah.
both did a lot of right.
Yeah.
But we got uploaded with a lot of their things.
Yeah, we got a lot of junk on the drive.
We got a lot of spam mail in our inbox from them.
There's a good bit needs cleaning out. Yeah.
They left a lot. Ego, doubt, fear, all these things that they necessarily couldn't name.
Yeah.
We inherited that, and now we're at a part of our lives where we're naming shit that we're dealing with as if we just woke up with it.
Yeah.
The truth is, it's been instilled in us from a very long, long, long time, man. And yeah, again, like, these are great dudes, bro. Like, amazing men who were so technically flawed.
Yeah.
That they made it their fucking superpower.
Right. 100%.
And although I wish I could operate under that superpower, that's not me.
That is not you.
I just inherited some of the shit that they had.
Yes.
I wish I could be the same dude. I wish I could operate how they operate, how they moved. We're not the same. And so I operate a lot differently.
Thank God.
And I don't want the superpower. I got my own.
Yeah.
And I don't have enough room for his. And it's all love, you know? I mean, I'll leave you with this last story because this is actually a kind of funny one about him. I'm going to leave you with a quick anecdote.
Okay. An anecdote.
And it's a good way to end this whole shit.
Okay, cool.
So I've been kicking with Eli. Eli's my white Jewish homie. Shout out to Eli.
Yeah.
You know Eli.
Yeah.
Eli's been doing these like Wachuma cactus ceremonies where you ingest a little bit of this fucking, it's some white people shit, dog. I don't even know what I'm drinking.
Yeah.
They just doing a whole bunch of shit, but I believe in it because they're working out a lot of shit internally.
Okay.
They're praying to a higher God.
Yeah.
It's all things I believe in. How we arrived there, I don't know. It's all kind of kooky to me. Kooky, best way to say it. But I believe in where we're going with this rod.
Okay.
So they do these ceremonies where it's a prayer ceremony, mindfulness ceremonies, all this different shit. So I go to one.
Yeah.
And it was lit. I did the whole little shit. I'm drinking that little cactus. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to have my visuals. This is going to be lit.
Huh?
This is lit. And I'm thinking about like kaleidoscopes, little fucking elephants in the air. You know, I want the real shit.
Okay.
Give me the hallucinogens. I want to hallucinate, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like drinking the shit. I'm sitting in the circle. Nothing's happening. It's hours gone by. People are starting to vibrate and do all these hand movements and shaking shit. And I'm looking over like, y'all faking. I've been in this whole little circle with y'all for like 3-4 hours, man. I ain't got to really do nothing else besides drop a deuce. I look to the left and right. Everybody's like laying on the ground doing heavy breathing and shit. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Man, this is definitely not my lane. This ain't even my speed, man. I don't know what y'all doing.
Yeah.
So at some point, I'm the only one with my eyes open looking real confused. And Eli walks over to me and he has on this huge Native American like garb and shit. And he's like, hey, D, listen, you can go outside and take a walk if you want to. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, bet. Get some fresh air, man. I got to get away from these crazy white people.
Yeah.
So I get up, I go for a walk outside the yard. And I'm walking on the property. Again, I hadn't seen nothing, no hallucinating, nothing. It was a regular ass fucking weekend. Sun is out.
Okay.
And I walk up this hill, and at the top of the hill is flat. And you can see all of the Bay Area.
Oh, shit.
So I'm walking up this hill to get to the top so I can take this cool little Oakland Hills view or wherever we were, like kind of near the Oakland Hills. And I was like, ooh, I want to see this view. I'm going to walk up. And when I get there.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, there's gold glitter everywhere.
What?
I follow it. There's gold glitter on the ground. Gold glitter on the trees. Gold glitter everywhere. It's sparkling. It's almost like fucking little mini gold bars because it was so fucking shiny.
Wow.
And it was everywhere. It was like small ones. It was like chunkier pyrite looking ones everywhere. And I kept following. I was like, what the fuck? What is this gold glitter shit? This is Hello Kitty's house? Where am I going? So I keep walking. It's just, I'm following the gold glitter. And right when I get to the top, I see an Eames chair. Eames chair is a wood back chair that was made in conjunction with Herman Miller. They're popular, I want to say, in the 50s and 60s.
Okay.
But got wildly popular and expensive in the 70s, 80s amongst the elitists.
Okay.
You know, because the chair went from like a $200-$300 handcrafted chair.
Yeah.
To it cost thousands. I think now if you want an Eames chair, they're in anywhere between $3,000-$5,000 for just the base ones.
Damn.
So I look up, and there's an Eames chair and an ottoman in the field. Shiny. What? Gold glitter all over it. Now, the crazy thing about the Eames chair is my grandfather wanted an Eames chair his whole life.
Okay.
That was like his pinnacle.
Okay.
You know, when people say, I'm gonna give me a rocking chair, and yeah. I'm going to sit in the rocking chair, yeah. and I'm going to retire.
Yeah, he wanted the Eames.
He would always say, you know, I'm going to give me an Eames chair,
yeah.
and I'm going to retire. I walk to the top of the mountain, I see this Eames chair, it's filled up with glitter. And I'm still probably about 50 to 100 yards away from it, but walking towards it. As soon as I get close, I look. There's somebody in the fucking Eames chair. All gold.
What?
Gold shirt. Gold pants. Gold shoes. Just fucking golded out, bro. Burning Man type gold. Yeah. There's gold everywhere.
That sounds like a Burning Man gold.
It was wild. I mean, like gold hair. Wow. Metallic gold. Gold hands.
Damn.
Everything's gold.
Yeah.
And I look again at the hair as I'm walking up. I was like, what the fuck? That's my grandfather's hair. I keep walking. I get closer to it. And I look to the side. And sure enough, it's my grandfather sitting in the fucking Eames chair. Made out of all gold. And I stop and I just fold my arms and I stare at it. And I want to stare at it for a long time. I'm just really like staring at this chair. And then I realize the medicine kicked in. I was yeah. high. I was hallucinating. Yeah, I got high. Exactly what I needed in that moment. And I got to see my grandfather in his Eames chair. And I giggled to myself. I dropped a tear. And I walked back to the ceremony and said, hey, y'all, this shit is good. This shit works.
It works.
It works.
He was passed at that point?
Yeah, that was like a couple months after he passed. I did that ceremony wow. with him because I wanted to try something new, do some new shit. So, yeah. that ceremony, that cactus plant shit, boy, that shit's strong.
I've heard things about this Wachuma.
Yeah, Wachuma is different.
Mm.
So shout out to Wachuma and all the Wachumans.
A sponsorship from Wachuma for this episode too.
Yeah, sponsorship from what is it called? Medicine Path. Shout out to the Medicine Path and the Wachuman.
There you go. And Subway sandwiches.
And Subway sponsorship.
Dari. I fucking love you, man. This really was so much more wonderful than I could have even imagined.
Nah, I love you too, T. Tremendously, brother. This ain't the first. This ain't gonna be the last.
That is it, y'all. This has been a total honor for me. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, you listeners. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Thank you to everyone who has been a part of this family for the past 15 fucking years. I feel incredibly privileged and fortunate to be a part of this. 1,000 thanks to Adarius Bell, whose friendship, whose candor and vulnerability in telling this story is incredibly moving and inspiring to me. Seriously, it has changed me, at least in some small way. And I hope that at the very least, it has, you know, entertained you. To me, listening to Adarius, I wish I had more male role models like Adarius when I was growing up. This is the kind of conversation I want more of in my life. Thank you, Adarius. You can find Adarius Bell on the socials at Ada Clock, ADACLOCK. Let us know what you think of this third kind of story format we're doing now at the Risk Podcast Fans Discussion Group on Facebook. You can post on the r/r-risk. Is that really how it goes? r-risks podcast. I don't know. On the subreddit. On the Risk Podcast subreddit. You know what I'm talking about. You can also email Kevin directly at kevin@risk-show.com. If you're listening, the Eames Chair Company, please send Adarius an Eames Chair. I think he has earned it, and that would be a nice kind of closing the loop on this story, and you'd want to be a part of that. I'm sure that you could get some viral marketing out of it, or at least some satisfaction for being, you know, doing the right thing. If any representatives of Subway are listening, Darius is an excellent candidate for your free Subs for Life program, if such a thing exists. The music you're hearing now is also by a young Adarius Bell and a young Taj Easton. Okay, I'm seriously done now. Thank you so much to everybody who makes this show possible. I love my life and I love being a part of this community, which is genuinely fucking awesome and mind expanding. And it wouldn't be possible without you. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Folks, today is the motherfucking day. Take a risk.
When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and matching technology that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 75% of employers claim Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other online job sites, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences daily. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Join today by heading to Indeed.com/podcasts9 and get a £100 sponsored job credit. That's Indeed.com/podcasts9. Terms and conditions apply.